Parshas Devarim, we'll actually not talk about Parshas Devarim this evening. We'll talk about the upcoming Moed, the Moed of Tisha B'Av. Tonight is Leil Ches Av. Essentially, tomorrow night is Tisha B'Av. As we know, this year Tisha B'Av is Nidcha because it is Haram Shabbos, which means we have an extra day to prepare ourselves for Tisha B'Av. I've spoken to a lot of people this year of different ages, and unfortunately the recurring theme very often is people expressing the difficulty that they have perhaps to connect to the avodah of the 3 weeks and the 9 days and then eventually of Tisha B'Av. The Medrash, there's a Medrash in Eicha which reflects this difficulty, because the Medrash says, with regard to a certain pasuk in Eicha, it's not our discussion, but there's a certain pasuk in Eicha, in Perek Beis, but it says that Rabbi Yochanan understood this pasuk in 60 different ways. 60 different interpretations of one single pasuk in Eicha. It says Rabbi, however, he interpreted this pasuk in only 24 ways, as opposed to 60 that Rabbi Yochanan came up with. So it would sound like to us that Rabbi Yochanan obviously is on a far greater level, of greater stature than Rabbi, and that's why he was able to come up with 60 different interpretations as to just 24. And yet the Medrash says that no, not at all. Do not think, says the Medrash, that Rabbi Yochanan was necessarily greater than Rabbi. Rather, Rabbi was closer in time to the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and it was easier for him, therefore, to connect to the Beis HaMikdash and to cry about it, and at the same time to be comforted. But Rabbi Yochanan was further away, so he needed to interpret the psukim in more ways, as it were, to evoke the memories of the Beis HaMikdash. But for Rebbe, that was unnecessary. So if we learn that Medrash, sounds a little bit off-putting perhaps. So what do we say? Hundreds and thousands almost of years post the Churban, how do we connect? How do we connect to the inyan of the Beis HaMikdash, and specifically the Avelus on the Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara tells us, in Bava Kamma Daf Nun Tes on the Beis, the Gemara tells us a story. Eliezer Ze'ira. Ze'ira is Aramaic for small. The reason why he was called small, he wasn't small at all. He was a very great person, but he was a very humble person. That's why he was called small. Says he was walking in the marketplace in the Hardoi with black shoes, and the Reish Galusa met him and said, why on earth are you wearing the black shoes? So he said to him, I'm mourning Yerushalayim. So he turned round and he asked him a very poignant question. He said, are you so choshev? Are you so prominent that you can mourn Yerushalayim? L'chayra, it's Yuara. Yuara means it's Gaiva to mourn Yerushalayim. And he answered and he said, Gavra Rabo Ano, I'm a great person. Which, just in parenthesis, is very important. Marimokim, he himself is called Zeira, which means he's a very modest person. How can he himself describe his own personality as being a Gavra Rabba? So you see, what is the true definition of modesty? Modesty doesn't mean making yourself into nothing. It means knowing who you are. But either way, it says in this Gemara that in order to mourn Yerushalayim, l'chayra, you have to be a Gavra Rabba. So much so that that's why they questioned Eliezer Zeira. Why are you wearing black shoes? Who are you to mourn Yerushalayim? Oh, you're a Gavra Rabba, then it's different. So why do you have to be a gavur rabbi? Black shoes or black shoelaces? Why indeed must you be a gavur rabbi, a great person, to mourn Yerushalayim? And the answer is very simple. The answer is very simple, because in order to mourn Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash, as if to say that this is what bothers me in life, the fact that there's no Shechinah, no Beis Hamikdash, no Karbonos, that's what bothers you. And besides that, everything's okay. Everything's in order. You daven, you learn, you're chesed, everything is perfect. That's what's lacking in my life. Who can say that? We have far more issues, serious issues. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch says, frightening thing, you ask people, where does it say that you have to mourn the Beis HaMikdash and Avelos on Yerushalayim? So everybody will turn to Hilchos Tisha B'Av. It's actually the first siman in Shulchan Aruch. You open up the Shulchan Aruch, Erechaim, Siman Aleph, Siv Gimel, and it says, Ro'u Lekol Yorei Shomayim. It is the appropriate thing for every God-fearing person, Lies Meitzar V'Doyeg. You should be concerned and distressed over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. What does it say? Ro'u Lekol Yorei Shomayim. Why are Yorei Shomayim? And if you're not a Yorei Shomayim? Strange thing. Where else do we find that in Shulchan Aruch? If you're a Yorei Shomayim, you should shake a lulav. And if you're a Yorei Shomayim, you should keep Shabbos. If there's a mitzvah to shake lulav, then you have to shake lulav, and you have to keep Shabbos. So the Chiddush Harim, the first Gera Rebbe, said a frightening thing. Do you know why it is that it's only a Yorei Shomayim who has to mourn the Beis HaMikdash? Because if you're not a Yorei Shomayim, you don't mourn the Beis HaMikdash. It's not the churban of the Beis HaMikdash which should bother you. Rather, you have to mourn your own churban. Where are you holding? That's what the Chiddush Harim said. So it sounds like the Medrash we began with, the further removed you are from the Beis HaMikdash, the more difficult it is to connect. You have to be a Gavra Rabba. You have to be a Yorei Shomayim. So, what do we say? Us, little old us, in Top Shinayim tests, we also want to connect, we also want to be Mis'ale on the great day of Tisha B'Av and mourn the Beis HaMikdash like we're supposed to, and yet we're reading Chazal and it sounds like you have to be a Gavra Rabba and you have to be a huge Yorei Shomayim. And that's why, in all honesty, we do perhaps find it difficult to really be in touch with the Avodas Hayom. And we have to ask ourselves the question, does it really bother us, the fact that we don't have Beis HaMikdash and we don't have Shechinah? I'll tell you a very honest admission. A very honest admission on the part of a Talmud Chacham, the English contingent might know, the Mashkiach in the Gated Yeshiva, his name is Rabbi Miller, Rabbi Gershon Miller. For now, over 15 years, every year, even though he lives in Gateshead, he's been going down to Manchester every single year for Tisha B'Av, and he has a great big communal gathering, hundreds of people there, men, women, hundreds of people are listening in, it's now videoed as well, you can tune in, and he does an explanatory service of the kinnos, where he explains the kinnos, and he, in between each one, he introduces each one with a theme and a moshul and a lesson. So I was listening to one of the recordings and he says the following, and kol hakavod to him that he made this admission, but it was very poignant. He said, I've been coming here now for 15 years trying to be mechazek others and trying to be mechazek myself. He said, this year, whilst preparing for Tisha B'Av, so I took out all my notes from now 15 years of giving 2 or 3 or 4 hours of droshes on Tisha B'Av morning. As you can imagine, reams of notes, files. And he said, I had them all in front of me and I wanted to see what have I said and what have I not said and where did I say it and how did I begin, and I wanted to compare notes and then prepare accordingly this year. So I had all my notes, 15 years, spread out all over my desk. And I began preparing for this year's Tisha B'Av, and then I had to leave my house for a few moments. So I came back and I saw that I'd left a cup of coffee on the table, and someone had come and spilt the coffee all over 15 years of notes. Hundreds and hundreds of hours of hard work and preparation for all his notes on Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, gone. One cup of coffee wiped them out. And he said, of course, I was very upset and very angry. Who did this? All that work, all that effort, investment of time and energy, and it's all gone. And then he said, very honestly, and he said, and then suddenly it hit me. 1 second. Is it really true that I'm more bothered, if I'm really honest with myself, the fact that my notes about the Churban Beis HaMikdash have gone, rather than the Beis HaMikdash itself has gone? He said, I have to be honest. I have to be honest. Here I am trying to mechazik others, and my notes went about the Churban, and perhaps that bothered me more. So it sounds perhaps a little bit depressing, and I haven't come to depress everybody or anybody. When Chazal say you have to be a Gavra Rabba, you have to be a great person, you have to be a Yorei Shamayim, etc., etc., what that means is as follows. If we open up the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch tells us, Tov Kuf Nun Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, all the way till Tov Kuf Nun Tes, Siman after Siman of Halachas of the 3 weeks and the 9 days, and Tisha B'Av. You have to be a Gavra Rabba and a great Yorei Shamayim, perhaps, to be mitzdayer on the Churban all year round. But when it comes to this time of year, everybody can tune in. And everybody must tune in. When Eliezer Zeira was being criticized for wearing black shoelaces, and he says, I'm a Gavra Rabba, that means not necessarily at a time of mourning. Then you have to be a great person to be able to say that on a regular day you miss the Beis HaMikdash and Karbonis, etc. But it comes to 3 weeks and 9 days and Tisha B'Av, it's public property. You don't have to be a Gavra Rabba. You don't have to be a Yorei Shamayim. The Shulchan Aruch only says you have to be a Yorei Shamayim in Siman Aleph, because Siman Aleph applies when? Every single day of the year. You open up the Shulchan Aruch, this is your law book. You want to be mitzvah on the Churban in the middle of Kislev, in the middle of Iyar, you have to be a Yorei Shamayim. But nowhere does it say in Hilchos Tisha B'Av and 9 days and 3 weeks anything about being a Yorei Shamayim or being a Gavra Rabba. This is public property. This is available and open and accessible to every single person without exception. And I'll tell you, this year it opened my eyes. Rather than looking at this in a very depressing way that was so removed and it's so difficult to connect, to the contrary, I open up the Shulchan Aruch and I receive a tremendous chizuk from it. I receive a tremendous chizuk. Do you know what the chizuk is? Imagine you would go up to your young child and say, here, I have 10,000 shekel that needs to be deposited with a friend of mine down the road. Here, take the money, be careful, and deposit it. What message are you relaying to your child? It's an investment of confidence. I trust you. I wouldn't give it to a three-year-old, not an envelope of 10,000 shekel. But if I'm telling you that I can give you this money, that means I'm telling you that I believe in you, and I can rely on you. If Chazal tell me that there's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch, all the halachos of 3 weeks and 9 days, I take that as a tremendous confidence booster. That means Chazal believed in me and us. They wouldn't possibly have decreed anything which isn't applicable or maintainable. And if they gave me a list of halachos, what they're telling me is that you can connect. And you can keep these halachas, and you can use these halachas as a springboard to connect to Tisha B'Av. So rather than look at it in a very negative way, perhaps, let's look at it in a positive way. Chazal have patted us on our backs, and they've said that we believe in you. Even hundreds and hundreds of years after the Churban, we still believe that with the following step-by-step guide, you could too can prepare yourselves for the years, for the Moed of Tisha B'Av. And so therefore, we ask ourselves, it's true, we're far removed, hundreds of years, we're not a Gavur Rabba necessarily, or Yoreh Shamayim necessarily, but we too, we also want to tap in to the Avodah of Tisha B'Av, which is just now a day or two away. So I'd like to mention, if I may, a medrash with a phenomenal explanation, simple explanation by the Ponovitch Rav. The medrash tells us, this is the medrash in Parshas Toldos, that when they came to the Har Habayis, they were petrified themselves to enter. They knew full well this is a holy place and they were scared to enter. So they got hold of Yosef Meshisa. And Yosef Meshisa, they said to him, he was a Jew, clearly not a righteous one, and they said, you go into the Beis HaMikdosh fast. We would rather not. And what should I do there when I get there? Take something out. Bring out one of the kelim of the Beis HaMikdosh. No problem. He went straight in, and he came out with nothing less than the menorah shel zahav. Took out the menorah. The menorah that the Kohen God lights every day, he came out with a menorah in his hands. And they said to him, for whatever reason, we don't want to use the menorah. Go back in, go and fetch something else. And he said, no, I won't go back in. I won't go back in. And they tried to persuade him and force him, and he refused. They tried to bribe him. They said, we'll give you 3 years of tax exemption. I'm not going. He says, it's enough. Dayai sheichasti leloikai pam achas. It's bad enough that I angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu once. Sheachisenu pam shniyo. I should anger him again. It says they started torturing him in a very cruel manner to try and persuade him to go back in, and he refused. He was screaming and yelling, and he says, "Vay, oi, oi, shechasti leboiri, that I made HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my Creator, upset." End of story. So the Ponovitch Harov, the great Ponovitch Harov, asked the obvious question. 30 seconds ago, he was more than happy to enter the Beis HaMikdosh and carry out the menorah HaTohira that the Kohen God lit. And all of a sudden he was chayzer b'tshuva, he suddenly became such a big tzaddik. All of a sudden, a big baal tshuva, I don't want to go in, chas v'shalom, to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You just were there, and you were more than happy. You didn't protest in any way whatsoever, first time round. So what happened second time round? Said the Ponovitch Harov, a phenomenal pshat. He was a Rasha, and that's why he had no qualms whatsoever entering the Beis HaMikdash, taking out one of the klisharis, the menorah nonetheless. But one moment in the Beis HaMikdash, and he experienced the Kedusha therein, that influenced him, and that elevated him, and he came out a different person. A few seconds in the Beis HaMikdash, he transformed, he became something else. No, he didn't become a Baal Tshuva. Wasn't chayzer b'tshuva as such. He became a different person from a second of experience in the Beis HaMikdash. That's how the Ponovitch Rav explains. Such that, he says, having experienced the Kedusha, having experienced the Tahara of the Beis HaMikdash, there's no way I can go in again. I was happy to go in first time round because I hadn't yet experienced it. I have now, chas v'shalom, to go in. This medrash, in a way, as poignant as it is, opens our eyes and perhaps makes it very easy for us to connect to Tisha B'Av. We all have, every single one of us, we all have our moments of inspiration. Every single person. Every single person. We can't necessarily create them or design them or wait for them. Every person, for example, Yom Kippur Ne'ilah, one has to have a heart of stone not to be moved. not to feel the Kedusha, the elevation of Yom Kippur. Everybody feels it. Imagine somebody in the middle of yelling with all his might, Hashem Hu Elokim, at the end of a long Yom Kippur. He's able to do an Aveira then? Somebody doesn't want to, he's not able to. He's a different person. And yet an hour later, a day later, a week later, we all know what happens. Sometimes it's business as usual, but we have that moment. On occasion, perhaps we can't even explain why, we daven the tefillah and we soar to the sky. We feel very, very connected. A person can be moved, for example, by a very moving song. It just touches, it pulls the heartstrings. Or any other moments of regesh, of kedusha, that we wish that we could just perhaps put in an envelope and every so often open up and have a little whiff, but we can't. But had we had the Beis HaMikdash, then we could have. If ever we wanted to have an immediate inspiration, a shot of kedusha, Yosef Meshisa, 1 second in the Beis HaMikdash, came out a different person. Changed him completely. They could bribe him, they could force him, they could torture him, he came out a different person. I'm not going to the Beis HaMikdash, I've already experienced it. I came out a different person. The whole year round, we wait, and we hope, and we daven that we'll be zeicher to these types of moments, because it's these moments that keep us going, that propel us forwards, onwards and upwards. And we wait for them. And we wait, sometimes longingly, and perhaps, no, Yom Kippur Ne'ilah, that's the next stop. I have to wait all the way till then. But if I'd only have a Beis HaMikdash, one trip to Yerushalayim, I'd experience it. I'd experience the Kedusha, now we can't. So for any of us who long for these types of moments and miss them dearly, and know how important and how central they are to our Avodas Hashem, it's very easy for us to mourn the Beis HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av, because now we truly know what we're missing. But the truth is, if we only open our eyes and open our hearts and open our minds, we would realize that the chisorim of not having a Beis HaMikdash is something that affects us in our day-to-day life. If we really want to tap into the Avelus, Avelus is all in the mind, it's all about hisboinus. If one doesn't engage in hisboinus, then there's no way one can bichlal have any shaykhus to Avelus. It's not a physical pain. If somebody hurts their finger, it's nothing a matter of hisboinus, it just hurts. Avelus is all about hisboinus. Let us be hisboinus for a moment. The Medrash tells us, in Eicha, a short, tragic story. Maisa v'isho achas. The story is told with a woman who lived in the neighborhood of Rabban Gamliel. V'hoyalo ben tishchoyres. They had a son, a very beautiful son, Mais, who died. V'hoyso boicha olo v'alaylo, and she would cry over him every night. Being in the neighborhood of Rabban Gamliel heard her. He heard her voice. He heard her cries every night. And he recalled the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And he cried with her until his eyelashes began to drop. What does that mean? Have you ever been in a room where everybody bursts out laughing? You have no idea what the joke is that you laugh with. It's just infectious. You can't not. And the other side of the coin is also true. Wherever you are at, Rachmana Litzlan, a very sad event, a levaya, even if perhaps you didn't have any close connection, but if you just see people in tears, you well up as well. Is that what this medrash means? That this woman was crying, so Rabbi Gamliel became emotional as a result. She was crying, so he cried. So what should he cry about? He hasn't got anything specific to cry about, so he cried on the Beis HaMikdash. It's not what the Medrash means. The Medrash means that when Gamliel heard about this tragedy, he realized and he understood that that is a result of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's not that she cried and therefore he cried, or some sort of Gzeira Shava crying. He realized that because of the Hester upon him, a tragedy like this could happen. That itself is a clear manifestation of the fact that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why he cried over the Beis HaMikdash. Nizkar Churban Beis HaMikdash. The tzoras that befell and befall Klal Yisrael are direct results of not having a Beis HaMikdash. After World War II, many people turned to Gedolei Yisrael and they said, perhaps we should institute a national, as it were, Holocaust Memorial Day. A Yom HaShoah, as it's called. And Gedolei Yisrael were vehemently against. They were against it. And they said, no, do not institute a day to recall the Holocaust. What does that mean? You could just forget about it? Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom to forget about these tzaras. Zechor Yemos Olam. Rather, they said, connect that with Tisha B'Av. And indeed, in many kehilos, I think Beis Knesset HaGro included, many have the custom at the end of the kinos, they recite a kinah, or more than one, over the Holocaust. The kinos, which were compiled by, I think, Reb Shimon Shvab, and by the Baba Vareba, and by Reb Shmuel Vosner, Zichron and Nevracha. They all obviously themselves experienced the Holocaust. And with their Das Teira and their poetic license, they were able to create the most beautiful and moving kinos. What did that mean? Why would Gedolei Yisrael on one hand so keen that the Holocaust should be remembered, but not to make a different day out of it? And we know that on Tisha B'Av morning, the Holocaust is not the only sorrow we recall. We have a whole kinah that talks about all the kehilos in Europe, Worms and Magenta and other kehilos that were wiped out. So on the surface it sounds like to have two or three different days would be too much for us. Too moving, too difficult, too imposing, so we might as well bunch them all up. Chas v'shalom. It's exactly the same as the Medrash we just mentioned. What these Gedolei Yisrael were saying is, if you make a separate Holocaust Memorial Day, then you clearly haven't understood what Tisha B'Av is all about. Because the Holocaust is a result of Churban Beis HaMikdash. And therefore the day to commemorate it is Tisha B'Av. If you make it a different day, then you haven't understood what Tisha B'Av is all about. You have to appreciate and understand that 6 million Yidden who were killed, Hashem Yimkon Domom, were killed as a result of not having a Beis HaMikdash. Because something like that couldn't have happened had we had a Beis HaMikdash. That was the Tkufa of Gilui upon him, not Hester upon him. So to celebrate or commemorate that on a different day is undoing the whole fabric of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the reminder to us that all our sorrows, whether they are personal or national, are all results of the Beis HaMikdash, whether it be the Kehillahs in Europe, or whether it be in more recent times the Holocaust. Those are manifestations of Churban Beis HaMikdash. So when we're on the floor crying, the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we cry too, just like Rabbi Gamliel did when he heard this woman crying. He didn't just well up and become emotional. He understood that the tzara that befell her is itself a product of Hester upon him, which is the result, of course, of having a Churban Beis HaMikdash. If, like we said, with a bit of hisboninus, we open our eyes and our minds to this, then we realize, of course, that, in fact, to mourn the Beis HaMikdash is in fact a very easy process if we only open our eyes. If we open our eyes and we make this connection and we realize that the tzaras, whether it be on a national level, a communal level, or an individual level, are themselves products of Churban Beis HaMikdash, then who in the world can say, very difficult for me to connect, I have no shaykhus to the Beis HaMikdash? We all have every shaykhus to the Beis HaMikdash. There's nobody sitting in this room who doesn't have either a close family member or a friend or who knows somebody in recent times who perished in the Holocaust, a grandfather, a grandmother, a great-grandfather, a cousin, a friend.
Right here in Israel, the murders that are taking place, like even said, today as we sit here.
As you said, the tsarist that we see in recent decades, in recent hours, as I understand, are themselves the greatest and most painful reminder of Churban Beis HaMikdash, And in that light, therefore, it actually, with Nisboinenus, becomes very easy to tap in to the Avelus of Yerushalayim. All of us, every day, we come to the Beis HaMidrash, and we try our best to learn Torah. We're not going to do a questionnaire, but who can honestly say that I learn as much as I should, and when I'm learning, I'm as focused as I should? And who can honestly say that I always necessarily enjoy the learning the way I would like to? One has to realize that too is a product of not learning a Beis HaMikdash. It's a pasuk in Eicha. Malka v'sareha bagoyim ein Torah. We reached a situation of ein Torah. Now, of course, that cannot be understood literally because we do have Torah. If it wouldn't be Torah, there wouldn't be a world. Ein Lakodesh Baruch Hu, Eladal Adam Shel Halacha. Ein Torah, there was a weakening of Torah. If one struggles in one's Torah, one struggles in one's enjoyment of Torah, then one has what to cry about on Tisha B'Av morning. Tefillah, again, we can make a list for hours and hours just to focus for a minute or two on the basics. The basics of the basics, Torah, Avodah. Who can honestly say that every day, day in, day out, Shachris, Mincha, Mariv, I daven just the way I want to daven? I never have any problems in concentration. I'm always fully focused, every word. Who can honestly say that? We all struggle with tefillah. The Gemara tells us that is also a manifestation of Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, Miyoyim Shenecha Beis HaMikdash, Nina Lu Shari Tefillah. The Shari Tefillah were closed. The gates of tefillah was closed. The gates of tears were not closed, the Gemara says. The Gemara in Bracha says, Miyoyim Shechara Beis HaMikdash, Nifsika Choymas Barzel. There is a sheet, a wall of metal that divides, as it were, Bein Yisrael La'aviyem Shebashomayim. That's why we struggle now in Avodah Satfilah. So for anybody for whom the Avodah Satfilah is important, and that is for all of us, and we know that we struggle with Tfilah, we know that Chazal tell us it's one of the four things that always needs a chizuk. It needs an extra chizuk because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So we have what to cry about at all, as well. And so on, and so forth. All of our day-to-day struggles. Some of us are unfortunately more privy or less privy to the tzaras of others, and one hears those who are struggling, whether it be in Shalom Bayis or Parnasa or Chinuch of their children or health issues or any other matter for that. But we have to understand those are all connected to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Kohen Gadol, davening lifnai v'lifnim for the parnosa of Klal Yisrael, it doesn't mean that there weren't poor people in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, but certainly there was more of a shefa of parnosa, undoubtedly. How many times have I personally heard in the last year people who have said to me in different situations in tears, I don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me. People in different situations at crossroads, am I supposed to be doing A or B, and I've tried so many things and this is not working, that's, I don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me. That is also a manifestation of Churban Beis HaMikdash. It would have Yerushalayim, I would have the Beis HaMikdash, we would have the Nevi'im, we would have a direct message. You don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you? Go to the Navi and ask him. He'll tell you exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. So all of our struggles, day to day, like I said, individually and communally, whether it be in Torah, as we said, tefillah, guidance generally, the tzaros that we see in Eretz Yisrael, in Europe, those are all manifestations, those are all direct results of the Beis HaMikdash. So as we said, we don't have to be a gadol rabbah. We don't have to be an enormous Yerushalayim. Maybe to be misabel on Yerushalayim all year round. So an aleph in Shulchan Aruch perhaps is only relevant to Yerushalayim. But the halachas of Tisha B'Av are relevant, are very relevant to all of us. All of us, without doubt, can and must connect with the avodah of Tisha B'Av. And if we find it difficult to connect, it means that we haven't been misboinin enough, because if we're misboinin, it's actually very easy to connect. It's an easy avodah, and it's a very elevating and rewarding avodah. It's an easy avodah, I don't mean in a physical way. Of course, it's not easy to sit on the floor and fast for a day. It's easy to connect in a oifen ruchni, to understand what it is that Chazal and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from us on this day. So for anybody who's struggling in their learning, for anybody who's struggling in their tefillah, for anybody who the sorrows of Klal Yisrael pulls at their heartstrings, for them it will be easy to open their minds and to open their hearts in Tisha B'Av morning and realize that there's plenty to cry about. There's plenty to cry about. We should just say, in conclusion, a pasuk, a single pasuk, which is very widely quoted at this time of year and should be quoted. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu Perek Zayin, where the Nevi Sheker, the false prophets, were telling Klal Yisrael, nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. The bias will never be destroyed. Everything will just be fine and dandy. And the Navi responds, Yirmiyahu, and he says, Al tiftuchu lochem al dibrei hashoker. Don't listen to these false words. Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem. Three times Hema. And the Malbim explains, don't believe the Nevi'i Sheker. Whether the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed or not, the real Beis HaMikdash, Heichal Hashem. Do you know what the real Heichal Hashem is? They're telling you the Nevi'i Sheker, this is why it's mentioned three times. They're telling you that Heichal Hashem, Hashem's house, is Heichal Hashem. That's Hashem's house. Do you know what we believe? That Heichal Hashem, Heimo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes that every Jew is the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are the real Heichal Hashem. Every person is the Heichal Hashem. Every person is a Beis HaMikdash. Like we said from the Chiddush HaHorim, if you're not a Yerushalayim, then rather than mourning the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we have to mourn our own Churban. This is the time of year when we have to realize this, that we are all potential Batei Mikdash. We are all machines of Kiddush Hashem. How much are we activating these machines? How much Kiddush Hashem are we producing in our homes and within our families? How much do we allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, into our lives? The Kotzke Rebbe, as a young child in Cheder, destined for greatness, was once asked, as a child, tell me, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the Kotzke Rebbe said, where is he? He is wherever you allow him in. That's where he is. The more one brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu into one's lives in a very real and practical way, whether it be tefillah, or whether it be learning, as we mentioned, or in our homes. Just this week, how painful it was. Somebody was talking to me about his Shabbos, last Shabbos. I said, how was your Shabbos? He said, it was interesting. I said, what do you mean? He said, it became a very, very vocal discussion amongst the family. Big discussion at the Shabbos table. I said, oh really, what was the discussion about? Halachas of Tisha B'Av Shechal B'Shabbos? Or something, a difficult pasuk in Parashat Maaseh? He said, no, about the elections. Rachmana Litzlan. That's called bringing Kedusha in our homes. That's what the Shabbos table is about. That's called being a Heichal Hashem. To ask your Rav, a Shaila, were you allowed to talk about elections on a weekday? Never mind Shabbos morning. That's not called being a Heichal Hashem. Being a Heichal Hashem, bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the Shabbos table, into our homes, into our lives, on a day-to-day basis, and to be a walking and talking and moving Kiddush Hashem. That is the avodah of this time of year. So in summary, even though we said on the outset it sounds perhaps like that these are difficult days to tap into, and it has to be a Gavra Rabban Yore Shomayim, but if you open the Shulchan Aruch and you realize that Chazal said to me, little old me, that I have to keep these halachas, and clearly they gave me a boost of confidence, a vote of confidence in me, I realize that Chazal trusted me and entrusted me with these halachas, and they said, no, you too can tap into these halachas, perhaps not all year round, but at least for 3 weeks and 9 days and one day a year. And how indeed do we tap in? By realizing that so many of our tzaris, to the klal, to the prat, to our mishpachas, to the yechidim, are all direct results of the Churban HaBayis. That's what Rabban Gamliel cried about when he heard of this tzara that reminded him of the Churban. The Gedolei Yisrael, who said that we should recall the Holocaust on Tisha B'Av and all the killers that were destroyed, those all products of Churban Beis HaMikdash. Our struggles in davening, our struggles in learning, and all of our tzaras are all manifestations of Churban HaBayis and of Hester Ponim. If we think about that, we realize that actually the avodah of Tisha B'Av becomes very easy avodah, perhaps not to put into place, but to tap into. Now we all be zeicha, but there shouldn't be a Tisha B'Av. But if there is, we should be able to be mis'ale on this day the way that Chazal wanted to. Chazal tell us, whoever's mis'abel on Yerushalayim, it doesn't say that he will be zeicha. It says zeicha, he is, present tense. Not yizke. Not yizke v'yira, but zeicha v'roya. He is currently being zeicha v'roya. The very fact that we mis'abel on the Churban shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu how important it is to us. And that's really the first step in the right direction towards the Geula. May we be zeicha to see the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash, and here of Yameinu Amen.